Is it really episode
30? This is Anderson Pence Podcast, episode 127 for Tuesday, October 28th, 2014. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Pence Radio Network.
Is it really episode 127?
It is really 127. When I say I'm going to start the podcast, that means I'm going to hit the button.
Hey, it's kind of cool how that works.
Oh.
Wow, so see what happens when we're home for a couple weeks? This is awesome. This whole sleep thing is, like, so cool. But we're not going to talk about pen shows tonight.
No, we're not going to talk about pen shows, even though Ohio is right around the corner.
I know.
And I'm totally excited.
I know. Because some of us, me, bought a couple pens in Denver and Detroit, which means some of us, meaning Brian, get to buy pens in Columbus, and I am terrified.
Yeah, I'm checking the website right now. I am.
The website for the Columbus Pen Show auctions.
The OhioPenShow.com is your source. For everything Ohio Pen Show. And I am checking the auction listing because every year it's like 3 days before, 4 days before they finally get the stuff up.
I pay Terry and Ben to do that on purpose.
I bet you do. So right now there are no updates on the auction.
Maybe there's not going to be an auction.
There is going to be an auction. We should have like a little ticker on the website.
How long until the auction stuff?
Anyway, yeah, so that's just around the corner. Next week we will have our big Ohio Pen Show review. I'm totally excited. Last one of the year.
Thank God. I'm totally excited about that.
I know. It's one of my favorites. It's really – and I mean that. I mean that sincerely.
You say that every time.
I know, but – It's so much fun, and if you haven't been, if you can go to a pen show, this is the show to go to. Really, it's smaller. It's got. It's not small. No, absolutely not. But it's smaller than DC, so it's not as intimidating as, you know. But.
But it's pretty big. That ballroom, the bigger ballroom, is big and full, and it gets busy. In fact, I find I'm grateful every year that we are not in the big ballroom because it's just too massive. I like our little room.
Yeah. So anyway, we're not gonna talk about it. even though I check multiple times a day to see if there's any updates. Terry assures me Ben is working on the auction pictures. So.
Okay, that's fine. I have not heard from Steph as to whether or not she's gonna surprise us. That was kind of fun.
Well, if she tells us she's gonna surprise us, then it's not really a surprise. But I don't care either way because I'd love to see her.
Would be great.
So I'm just going to throw this out there because I know there's a little bit of lag. Steph, are you coming?
You should go.
You should go anyway. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. No more pen show talk.
Yep. Not until next week.
All right. So we got a couple things we want to talk about.
Yep. Paul had mentioned, I think, on Facebook, we'd asked for a couple suggestions. After 126 episodes, I won't say it's hard to come up with fresh topics, but it's really difficult to keep track of what we have and haven't talked about. And we do want to keep it interesting to both us and you. And Paul had a great suggestion about whether or not collecting pens, especially like limited edition pens, as an investment is a smart move or not. So we thought that was an interesting topic. We did have a friend, we do have a friend, who at one time had two limited edition, they were Visconti sets.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he bought them at a very good price, and then he had them set aside for his grandchildren, for his granddaughters. With the hope that they would sell them, he would give them to the grandchildren, and then when it was time for them to go to college, they would be able to sell this and help finance part of the college. I don't recall that they were super expensive. I don't recall. I think it was probably around $2,000 or $2,500, which, don't get me wrong, is a lot of money. But it was for a set. It was six or eight Visconti pens.
Yeah.
I don't know that some pens do go up in value depending on scarcity, but not all of them do. I know with, like, Mont Blancs, for example, they usually sell for retail, but then there's such a huge secondary market.
Yeah. Yeah, we had this discussion today with a friend at the store. Pelican, too. You can buy a brand new Pelican M800, but there are so many out there. There's so many Mont Blanc 149s, 146s, M1000s, secondary, used. I mean, do we really need the whole box, the whole presentation, all that stuff?
There are other pens like, I have a fondness, as some of you may recall, for the Aurora Optima pens, especially the Mare and the Soleil, the Primavera I don't have yet, 75th anniversary.
Christmas.
There you go. I don't know that they really go up in value as an investment. I think that if you hang on to it and don't abuse it, as long as it's in very good condition, you could probably recoup your money. I don't know that you would get more for it.
Yeah, you know, we actually have a friend who at one point, I don't know if he still does this, used to take on, I want to say the number was five, but I could be wrong, five clients every year that he actually invested in pens for. It's you know, limited edition pens, it's really tough. The only, of course, if you buy at the right price, if you buy low, if you get it for free, it's a gift.
I like that.
Falls off the back of a truck. I mean, I don't know. then it's one thing. But, you know, generally speaking, the best investments in pens, and of course, this is not investment advice. Please see your, whatever.
Here, Edward Jones.
We do not give investment advice on the Anderson Pens podcast. The best investments are vintage pens, but even those are tough because look what happened in the 80s. Prices were through the roof, and then prices have never really recovered back to where they were 30 years ago. So, you know, and then especially now with the advent of the internet, and we've been buying pens on eBay for, 15 years now. It's really opened up. So what one thought was maybe a one-of-a-kind is no longer. I mean, when we first started collecting Esterbrooks, the relief pens were considered rare.
And which is why I didn't buy them, and I let you get – you had them all. They were yours.
And I bought them all, and now they're hard to sell.
So I still ended up with them.
You still ended up with them, right? At least you didn't have to pay for them, but – so generally speaking, I mean, vintage pens, I mean, you have your classics. You have your Mandarin Senior dual folds, your red hard rubber dual folds. Any vintage pen in excellent color, those are the ones that have investment potential.
Waterman number 7 ripples.
Waterman number 7s, the pink. Mm-hmm. Any Mont Blanc black in a color other than black.
Yes.
But
it also overlays. It also depends on the interest in it. It doesn't matter how perfect a pen is if nobody likes it or wants it. And sometimes, we get people who bring pens for appraisal either at the store or at shows. And sadly, just because someone may have paid full price for it back then doesn't mean that's what you can get for it now. It a lot of it just depends on the economy. So if you've got the time to wait it out, or you see that a certain model or a certain company seems to be either holding its value, just like a car, when you see kind of it plateauing, maybe that's the time to sell.
Perfect example, I guess, is the, well, and I guess I'm what I'm thinking here is there are, if you don't have buyers, it doesn't matter how rare the pen is.
Right.
I have several, but I have one of the rarest Estabrooks on the planet. I've never seen another taper cap modeled hard rubber made by Wirt eyedropper pen, but if nobody's willing to buy it, it's not worth anything.
Right.
You know, and we've seen this before. We've seen people pass away, and their heirs get the collection, and then they're trying to sell them, and they're shocked when they realize they can't get $1,000 for something that you can buy second on the secondary market for $400. You know.
Right.
So.
I knew a woman who passed away many, many, many years ago, and a friend of mine, another pen woman, and I. Pen lady, we were tasked with liquidating the estate, and this woman had kept amazing records. She had receipts for everything that she had paid for. The problem was she bought 90% of it at full retail, and then sadly, once you try to sell a pen that is essentially used, whether or not it's been inked, once it's already had, it's like a car. Once you drive it off the lot, it has lost some value. And so her mother, this poor woman's mother, was beside herself. You know, well, she paid $300 for this pen. That's what you should be able to get for it. But if you're going to pay full price for it, you would just buy it brand new in the box, unused, yourself.
Right. Right. I remember that very well, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's a shame. So if you are buying pens to use as an investment down the road, one of the better pieces of advice, I guess, is to definitely keep a sharp eye on prices on eBay, on the forums, and if it looks like you can recoup your money or maybe even make a few dollars, you know, sell when you see that the market is ripe to sell it. Don't hang on to it forever because it's not going to continue.
Yeah, you're better off. You're better off putting your money into mutual funds or stocks and bonds than putting it, investing them in pens.
Well, pens are meant to be used. They're not meant to be stored away, and not all pens store equally either. So you put it away, and depends on where you keep it. If you've put it away inked or whatever, but. I think that to us the more important thing is if you buy a pen, you should use it and you should enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy it or it just doesn't fit your hand or you wanted a slightly different nib, sell it and buy something that you really love.
Yeah. Not everybody wants to have 1,000 pens, you know, so.
No.
You got to have.
No sane people.
Actually, believe it or not, there's a thread on FBN this week about what is a sane number of pens to collect.
Well, whatever it is, it's not you.
It's less than what I have.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so I mean, you know, don't.
It doesn't mean sell all your pens off, but.
No.
You know, if you're going to buy pens, although some do go up in value, some don't, there's really no hard and fast rule for what will and what won't. But the vintage pens or the discontinued certainly have a better chance of being worth something down the road because there may be a collector who's looking to fill a gap in a collection.
But yeah, and generally speaking, limited edition, small limited edition runs. I mean, not these 10,000 units. You know, that's a huge limited edition run, 10,000-20,000.
Yeah.
But the smaller the run, the better. You know, but just be careful. You're better off doing vintage. But even still, you have to spend and you have to spend a lot of money, make some mistakes to understand. Yeah, you have to make some mistakes to understand the difference between this and that, and then all of a sudden, I mean, it happens so frequently.
Don't buy navy gray.
Don't buy navy gray 51s thinking they're...
Thinking they're NASA.
They're NASA. But, you know, and you never know, too. I mean, in the heat of the moment, sometimes you see there ends up being a crack in the pen, and then that's half the value, right? So
yeah,
you just totally never know.
Your entire investment.
Yeah. So
anyway, just a thought.
So that doesn't. I'm trying to lead right into topic number two here, and I'm not sure how to do it. You're good with words.
I am. So we're talking about pens as investments and sell them when you can get the money, which leads into pens that you've loved and lost, or the pen that gave me the worst seller's remorse, or, you know, pens you sold and you wish you hadn't. I have a list.
You do. You notice that there's not a single pen on there that I wrote down.
It's because before me, you didn't sell pens.
Well, not really.
So what about pens that you left on the table that still talk to you? For example, I had a Visconti Kaleido from 1998, maybe 2000?
Yep, somewhere around there.
I bought it with Deb Kinney's help. I bought it from Airline International. I don't even know if they're still in business.
I know. I think weren't they the ones that just went out of business?
That was World Lux.
Oh, World Lux. Okay.
But anyway, I think it was Eddie Coleman sold it to me. This beautiful burgundy Visconti Kaleido that they no longer make, and I loved it. It was a hair big, which is why I eventually sold it, and I have regretted selling it pretty much every day since.
Yeah, we hear about it in the store at least once every other week.
That's not true.
No, it's not true.
That's not true.
Once a month, maybe.
Once a month. Well, we had a new old stock Visconti in the Voyager series, which, of course, reminded me of the pen that I sold. But I also, who's it? Guido in L.A. Guido Saltieri?
Yes.
Yeah. He found at the show an entire set of the original Visconti Kaleido colors. There were two different versions of them, and mine was from the first version. And he had this entire set, and I practically jumped on him to see, you know, how much are you selling the pen for? Because I'll buy it, whatever it is. And it wasn't for sale.
Now, wasn't there a purple, too? There was a purple, a green.
There was a green, a blue.
Red. I want to say there's a purple.
No, it was kind of, I don't think so. That was the burgundy. It was kind of a plummy color.
Okay, yeah, that's one thing.
And there was like an amber or something. They were very pretty. They were very pretty. And very interesting clip, and you can't get them anymore. So that was one of my pens that got away that still talks to me. At one point, I had pretty much what would be considered a complete collection of Waterman number 7 ripple pens.
And there are how many?
I don't remember. Pink, red, green, blue, purple.
White and black don't count.
White and black don't count. I don't know that I've ever seen one. The mythical gray. There might be another one. But I had what would be considered the entire
George is in the chat. Set. He'll yeah. chime in.
George, I can't tell me exactly what I'm missing.
What the number is.
And I did actually collect those as an investment, and I bought them when I could find
pink.
Them.
You missed pink.
No, I thought I said pink first.
Is it pink? Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
But anyway, bought them when I could get them at an excellent price, and down the road, I did sell them off, and I made some money. When I was a single mom, I think it paid for the kids' tuition to their private preschool for a couple months. And it worked, but I do wish that I had those again.
Purple. Did you mention purple?
I think I did, yeah.
Purple, that's like the worst nib. That's the nib I hate the most, and I always find that one. Brown. Stephanie says brown. Yeah. Okay, there we go. Yellow. Green, yellow, pink, red, blue, brown, gray. All
right. Yeah.
So, two, three, four, five.
And I wish that I still had those. I had a number of sailor pens that were either given to me back in 03, 04, and some that I got really very cheaply, and I so wish I had not sold those because they don't make them anymore. They were absolutely gorgeous. So I miss those.
Yeah, well, you know, we're making up with the sailor right now.
We are. And then there was the sailor mosaic we sold last week.
Okay, so here's the story. So what day was this? Came in on Wednesday. Is that right? About right?
I'm not sure.
Okay,
talk about it on the podcast last week?
I don't remember. Well, so it comes in one day. I forget what it was, what day it was. It comes in on one day. Lisa texts me, "Oh my God, pretty, 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 pretty," and then disappears. Right? Doesn't answer her phone the rest of the day.
You could have walked over.
I was busy. I'm working. Hello.
Anyway,
so I come in. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. You know, it may have actually been Tuesday because we rushed out of the store quick, too quick for me to actually take a picture.
Right.
And so that's fine. I'll take a picture of it the next day. So Wednesday comes, and it's gorgeous. It's really, you know, and we love Sailor. We really do. I use them every day. I have three of them in my backpack at all times. And I know, Lisa, you've got two or three of them. And, you know, the thing where I always say is the nib is king there.
Yep.
The nib is really what makes that pen. The rest of it is very conservative. It's elegant, but it's conservative. It's not flashy. Sometimes it's nice to have a little bit something different other than black or whatever, but or demonstrator. So we get it in, and it's crazy. I mean,
gorgeous.
Yeah, we waited, 6 weeks for it? Eight weeks?
I think we did.
Yeah, almost 2 months for this thing to come in. So Wednesday comes. Long story short, I'm getting ready to take pictures. So I go in and I get everything set up, and then all of a sudden one of our regulars comes in, and we're chatting, and he brings in a Pelican, and I have some problems with it, so I fix it for him, and then I just happen to have it sitting on the table. It wasn't in a box. It was sitting, you know, I mean, at any given point on this table, there could be 10 pens just to meet our users, whatever. And he goes, "What's that?" And he points over at it. And I said, "Oh, well, this is the new Sailor 1911. It's the mosaic in green." So, "How much is that?" he says. So,
he
picks it up and he looks at it and he goes, "Can I try it?" I'm like, "Well, sure." So, get the ink out. He does this. He scribbles. He goes, "Doo-doo-doo." He goes, "I'll take it."
And he came in today and says he loves it. And he said, "You know, you both kind of looked unhappy when I said I wanted it." And I'm like, "Well, we kind of were."
So I put it back in the box. I put it back in the sleeve. And then I got it, you know, all together. The outer box, and then I'm taking care of him, and I said, "Hey, listen," I said, "if you don't mind, I have to take one picture of this thing." So I got a picture of it in the plastic sleeve, and then Lisa calls Itoya, and apparently it is out of stock, discontinued. That was the last green mosaic.
Yeah.
There is.
We can get, in fact, I think we have the brown mosaic coming in tomorrow and two others coming in the next week or two. But the green, I ordered two more immediately, one for us and one more to sell, or maybe one for you and one for me.
I don't know. Yeah. That one literally. It went right off the line. I mean, he looks over at I couldn't believe it. I mean, he just picked it out. It glowed, and he says, "What is that?"
Yeah. So I kind of regret. I'm glad he loves it. I'm glad he's enjoying it. I'm glad he's using it. I just wish you know, we kept it.
Just wish you, just wish you would have spoken up and said, okay, we're not selling this one, so.
Let me see if I can get you one. This one's mine.
See, now the problem is I like the, so there's brown, there's a black, red, which is really a gray, and a red. And so the problem is when we get those things in, knowing that they're probably in short supply, are we keeping one, any, all, a set?
I don't know. We'll have to negotiate.
Well,
what about you? What do you regret, either leaving on a table? I regret leaving a Primavera. Now, we've seen several. None of them have been the price we were willing to pay.
So. No, they've never talked to me. They never, you know. I mean, the pens are beautiful. They're all, but they're all the same, right? So
yeah. I don't need the box. I don't need the whole 3-piece set. I just want the pen.
Right. Right.
So I regret that I don't have one, but I guess I don't regret leaving any of them. They weren't the right deal, but
yeah, it wasn't. I mean, we'll find one for sure. What do I regret? I don't know. I mean, there's so many possibilities. I mean, you go to a pen show, and the hardest part for me sometimes is when I used to go and actually have like a mental list, and when I would go and buy, is you look and you say, okay, well, you can't buy. You know, you're gonna buy 5 pens, let's say, and you gotta range for those. And you go to one table and you got one pen that's really nice, but it's, you know, it's 3 times the price. And then you go to the next 3 times, you know, it's 2/3 your budget, say. And then you go to the next table, oh, there's a nice pen. Oh, well, here's one that's on my list, but, you know. And then you can't remember where pen number 1 was. Because either A, it's the end of the day, and the next day everybody got up and they moved.
Now you can't find the person, let alone
which
the pen.
Happens all the dang time, especially the early days, the early trader days. Or, you know, just quite frankly, maybe it was somebody who was squatting at a table and then they got up and they left and then, you know, they were only at the show for a day. So I don't have any specific examples. There are 2 instances, I guess, that really stick in my mind, and one's not a big deal. I remember at an antique store once, not buying a red Estabrook Icicle because it was, I thought $20 was too much. I went back the next day, it was gone. No big deal. But the only other one I can think of is there was that Aiken Lambert taper cap overlay that I saw in LA 2 years ago. I haven't seen it since, but it was a little outside of the price range. Just slightly.
There's another one you regret.
There is another one?
There's one you regret selling. Ask George.
Oh yeah. Okay, George is on the chat. Yeah, okay, there's... All right, George. Here it is. This is the only in the Lisa era.
Oh.
The only pen that I've ever sold that I actually, maybe the only pen I have actually ever sold out of my collection was to my good friend George Remakis.
And it was an amazing deal. It was
amazing deal. It could not have gone to a better person. But, man, does that guy know how to put the screws on you at the just absolute wrong moment? Oh, man, I just, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that was, it was a very, very early Waterman. Actually, believe it or not, it probably increased my nib to barrel ratio. It was a very early very early Waterman. I don't remember if it even had a cap, I think there were 2 pens, actually. There was an early Waterman desk pen, and then there was a very early Waterman number 2 with the nib. No cap, though, I don't think so. But, yeah, very early. George, you ever want to get... You ever find another one, just let me know. And
yeah, get in touch with him.
We'll be in touch, so...
You've had a couple pens in different auctions that you've really mentioned the next day or two. Oh, I really wish I'd won that, but...
Yeah, you know, the problem with that is if the price is too far out of the range... Like, there was one. There was a Sanford and Bennett, in Chicago last year. Sterling Silver Filler Overlay. It's a sleeve filler. I have the gold-filled version, so this would have made a beautiful set. And I got outbid by a long shot. I was about $100, $200 outside of my comfort zone, and I dropped it. I said, no way. I can't do it. I can't do it and stay married, happily married.
Yeah, that's important these days.
On my anniversary weekend, no less. That was the first, actually, Chicago, I think it was last year, was the first pen show auction I had not actually won a pen. So I had not been successful, but yeah, that one I do regret too, but usually I'm okay with it. There hasn't been anything completely outstanding that I had to have, but you know, you never know. I'll check in 10 minutes and see if the Ohio show auction stuff is up.
Exactly.
Which means I'll check right now.
Yeah. You know, chime in or leave us a comment afterwards. But it's always interesting, you know, before we get ready for the show, we do kind of have a little list of things that we're looking for. We also have this huge list for customers and friends of what you guys are all looking for. So if we see one of these, one of those, three of these, I need a cap for this. You know, we've got this big list. But, you know, we're always on the hunt for a couple certain things for us that either we're looking to repurchase or we're looking to, you know, replace or whatever.
So we, I turned on this new feature on the video question thing here, and I have a question.
Okay.
I don't think you can see this, can you?
I don't think I can.
Yeah, okay. This is from TJ. He has a question.
TJ!
I think we should address this question. He wants to know, what are some recommendations of good Japanese pens?
Oh, score.
Yeah, this is
one topic.
A popular topic. So I would say,
ready?
Brandon Mull, go.
Sailor Platinum Pilot, done. Pretty much anything.
I'm serious. Did you just take them all? I don't get it.
What else is there? Sailor. All right, let's do Sailor first.
It's the brand and model, and then you took them all.
Name one bad Sailor pen.
Well, no, there is no bad
Sailor. There is none.
There is none. No.
Sailor, for me, I prefer a smaller pen. So the Sailor 1911 Standard. Oh, look, I happen to have one right here in my everyday case.
I bet you do.
Got that. So the nice thing about the Japanese pens is that the nib runs about a dress size smaller.
A dress size?
The ladies in the audience, you know what I'm saying.
I've never heard it referred to that way. So wouldn't the next shoe size?
They run a shoe size down, whatever.
They run
a dress size smaller. But even the extra fine is very, very smooth and has very good flow. So you don't have the issue with scratchiness. You can write very, very, very small and still have excellent flow and awesome, awesome writing, very smooth without any problems. The Pro Gear Slim I also like. That's what my Sky is.
You happen to have an example of that present.
Ta-da. Love this thing. The color is just to die for.
Tell us how you really feel.
But again, the nibs run a dress size small. On my Sky, I went with medium fine. And on my 1911 Standard, I have the medium, so the medium runs more like a fine. And thank you, Paul. Just incredibly smooth writers, well-balanced, great quality. You're not going to have a problem with the barrel or the cap. You're not going to have a problem with the trim. Just amazingly well-made, phenomenal company. You can't go wrong with a Sailor.
They make some beautiful pens. I have larger hands, so I gravitate towards the 1911 large. No, I do not have one handy. It's in my briefcase or my backpack downstairs. The Pro Gear, full size Pro Gear. Don't have a King of Pens yet. It's on my list for next year, I think.
You, John, and Ivan, I think, all want one.
Yeah. We should all get matching Pro Gears. Maybe Hugh needs a Pro Gear.
King of Pen.
It's a Sailor, absolutely. I'm interested these days in Platinum. I really like the looks of the big three, the big Japanese three, and of course let us not forget Nikaya.
Yes.
But of the big three, Sailor, Platinum, Pilot, I like Sailor and Platinum better than I like. There's nothing wrong with Pilot. Aside from the E95S, I don't know. Their designs are. I mean, I guess they all look kind of similar, but. They don't do it for me.
Really?
As much as the others do. I mean,
okay.
Is that crazy to say?
No.
You like the 3776 is really.
Those are beautiful pens.
Yeah, it's very Sailor-esque, I guess. You know, they look very similar. So it's no wonder I like them both. But
it's a different material, and it's, you know, they do have some differences in their nibs, but again, they do also run a dress size down. And that's part of their appeal as well. In fact, the 3776 has an ultra extra fine, yeah, which is kind of cool. So, I mean, if you write super, super, super tiny, that's awesome. That's the nib for you.
And some people do. I mean, they take extra fine nibs and they grind them.
Yeah. So they're like needle points. Platinum also had, maybe they still do, they probably still do, some Machié that are really pretty. I have an older one. I have two, actually, that I really like in a smaller, thinner size that are very well done. Those are nice. Very smooth, very soft nibs. So Platinum is a wonderful brand. They have wonderful pens.
Yeah. And there's some discussion in the chat about pre-war Pilots too. I mean, the older Pilot stuff, I'm not terribly familiar with. I mean, we've had some stuff from the 70s, 80s that was really interesting. The nice machine Machié from was it the 80s that we had the crane and. Mm-hmm. Just gorgeous, gorgeous pens. Very nice. I've used some of yours, and they're nice. I just
well, if the style doesn't appeal to you, you know, that's half of the equation. I think that the nibs themselves on a Pilot pen are, you know, Pilot, Platinum, and Sailor. All three have phenomenal writing nibs.
Yeah. Yeah, the one thing I would like to try is I'd like to have maybe the Justice, the Pilot Justice, is something that
we have some of those.
We do. I mean, it's a bigger pen. See, I guess that's my concern. Most of the Pilot pens are fairly small, or they're thin, and the Justice is a beefier pen.
It
so
is.
That might because actually I don't think I have a Pilot that I can think of. I've got a Prayer, but we use it as a tester, and that's about it.
But see, for me, I love the smaller pens. I am head over heels for my E95S. In fact, when we got it, that was the first thing I did. I unpacked the box. I took my Burgundy,
right,
and I love it.
Well, I love the nib. It's just that the pen, even posted, I mean, unposted, it's
small for you.
It's a small pen, yeah.
Yeah. I love my Prairas. In fact, I am working on a small collection of non-clear Prairas. I picked up a royal blue one in Denver. Hi, Jeff. And it was great. We did a trade. We were both happy, and I ended up with this awesome bright blue Praira that you can't get in the States.
I haven't seen it ever.
My new friend Jeff is happy as a clam. And so, love to you both out there in Denver.
Now, of course, there's with pilot, the pilots that do interest me, the earlier stuff. We have the vanishing points, the faceted vanishing mm-hmm. points. But the MYU, Murex,
yes.
we've had a couple of those that we had on consignment that we probably should have bought for ourselves. What do you got there? Oh, you have this one. Yeah, okay, now you have it. This is mid-60s vanishing point. Mm-hmm. Very unusual in, what is it, a turquoise?
Yep, kind of an aqua.
Aqua color.
Yeah, very cool.
It's got a little metal tassy on the end of the button. And it's a long pen, too. It's really cool.
It is. It's actually a little bit, I think it's a little fatter. I think the faceted ones might be a hair thinner. But, you know, Pilot also makes really good, they make phenomenal starter pens. The Metropolitan is a killer pen.
Yeah, Metropolitan. I mean,
you work your way up. Now, the ones that we saw in Dallas, oh, my God.
Hand-painted Macchier.
Oh.
Starting at, what, 10, 8,000?
I think the case that John had was had pens that range between $8,000 and $18,000.
Oh, so and
we
affordable.
Got to bundle them.
So
he hands me one, and he says, I'm like, oh, my God, it's, number one, it's huge, and number two, it's just freaking gorgeous.
Number two, it's 50,000.
And he says it's $18,000. I'm like, I looked at him, and I said, that's my car.
So and here's the funny part. I don't know if we told this story. So we're like, I got to take a picture, right? So Lisa takes it. She takes the cap off and she sets it in on the case, and the top of the case is like kind of at an angle, and the thing is like rolling around the table. I'm like,
he was just carrying it around in his
flat. I mean, you know, come on, man.
But you know, Pilot, Sailor, Platinum, you really can't go wrong. Even the Platinum Preppy, once you get it started, is a really good writer for a $4 pen.
Yeah.
You know, the Platinum Metropolitan, we sold a ton of those at Christmas because they were amazing gifts. The Pilot Metropolitan. Yeah. Because they were amazing to give as gifts or for a first fountain pen. It's hard to go wrong with a $15 excellent writer. And then you move up into some of the other lines, the Platinum Cools and the Balances. Those are great pens. Yep. So, you know, Japanese pens, go. Nikaya.
Depends on how much you want to spend, really.
Yeah, for me, that's my cutoff. I won't spend that much.
Well, no, but I mean, going back to TJ's question, recommendation of good Japanese pens, 136 and above, gold nib.
Yes.
Below 136, you've got a couple of options with steel nibs and how you want to do it. So, but yeah, and there's a fair number of options too. Balance, Cool, Prera, Metro, so whatever. But definitely, if you don't have some Japanese pens, I highly recommend it, especially if you like finer, if you like dress sizes small.
Well, but for you, you prefer a medium nib, so you go
Thank goodness for that Sailor broad nib.
They also have, you know, Platinum has the Ultra Extra Fine, Sailor has the Zoom and the Music, Platinum has a Music nib as well. So you also can get some interesting nibs that you cannot find in most other lines.
Yep.
So. Very innovative in a very elegant, classy body. There you go. Awesome.
Should we talk about what's going on in the store real quick and then rodeo out of here?
Rodeo on out. We got
I don't
in.
Know where that came from.
I don't know. Yeah. We got in the new Stipula Splash pens today.
I actually have these in my hand. Here they are.
An interesting, I would call it an entry-level Stipula pen.
Yeah, it's definitely, it fits in that entry-level. Kind of hard to see. This one I like, the slate gray. It's a demonstrator barrel. It has a chrome piston knob.
It's kind of cool.
And it has a color match section, and then it has a nib somewhat similar to a Newler's nib, and it has some flex to it. So So it's marketed as a piston fill flex pen. And an interesting note, so it comes in slate gray, Bordeaux, and then on the top, of course, you have the little stipula.
And didn't you discover that the piston rod is the same color as the cap?
The piston rod is the same color as the cap. So the blue,
that's kind of fun.
The blue has a blue piston rod, and the Bordeaux has a Bordeaux piston rod. And yeah, so when I extend this, it's tough to see, but it's got a blue.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it should be interesting. They're fairly inexpensive. They have the long slit down the nib, or pretty much going to this section. So very similar to a noodler's pen. They're nice pocket size. They post.
They are a little bit smaller. A lot of the stipula pens do tend to be a little fatter and chunkier, and these. I did not measure them, but I consider these to be more of a Prera size. They're fairly small.
Yeah, they're about that.
Or a 1911 standard size. They're definitely not a bigger, thicker pen.
Yeah, no, they're not. They're the smallest stipula there is, for sure.
Well, besides a Passaporta.
Well, yeah.
So. What else do we have? Let's see. We got in a boatload of stuff today. Dave and I were busy at the store besides, you know, pack and ship. Get everything out before Amanda comes in, our mail lady. We love Amanda. We got in a boatload of Twisby, so those are updated on the site. Tons and tons of Retro 51 came in. Edelstein inks finally updated, except Tanzanite. We didn't get the Tanzanite. Some new Pro Gear pens, Sailor Pro Gear came in, and Mosaics are coming in tomorrow and again soon. Is there a problem? I'm not sure what I did. I'm just going to keep going. So anyway, lots of cool stuff coming in. We also got in... Lamy gift sets that will be going up on the site this week. These are awesome. You're going to want to get one of these.
Yeah.
These are very great. Excellent value.
Safari, is there an all-star version too? There's just Safari.
There is.
Safari or all-star comes with a bottle of ink and a converter.
Yep.
And a blotter paper or something. What else is in there?
I don't have the paper in front of me. We'll have them up in the next couple of days.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the Visconti set has right. a...
So this is a really cool set in several different colors in a nice gift box. It's very cool.
Yep. And a discount over buying everything all.
Yes, separately. Yeah. Yep. They'll be $49.99 or $59.99.
Okay.
I do remember that part. And then we have these killer. If you're looking to get into Visconti, this is the way to go. An amazing Visconti calligraphy gift set.
The Rembrandt calligraphy set comes with two nibs, two converters, and a bottle of ink, and a set of, I think it's blotter paper that comes with the set. So it's a really cool set. At a decent price, I want to say it's $156.
Yeah, it's really an excellent value. Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking about looking into Visconti, this is the way to go. Two nibs. That's awesome.
And one of them is a stub and you can't get it.
Normally, it's not
a regular nib option.
Yeah.
So.
What
else?
Since we're home and settled for like 2 weeks, we haven't done any major moves at the store. We haven't done any major renovations.
Well, you know, I was going to talk to you about that.
It's really been nice.
We did do major renovation, sort of.
What do we do?
You took a screwdriver and a hammer at the top of one of our Parker cases last week.
Oh, okay. All right, so you know those Parker cases we drove somewhere, we drove like 3 hours to get?
Father's Day weekend, right?
Well, one of the cases, the one we didn't intend to get, but we bought it because we had room, had very, very scuffed glass on the top. So we decided we were going to replace the glass. I don't know if any of you have ever tried to remove a display case glass that's been adhered to the case for 40 years. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend.
No.
Brian, on the other hand, had a towel and a hammer, and he was just going to break it. But I decided we were going to try and
apparently that was too much.
That was a little too aggressive. So I tried to separate the glass from the adhesive, and it worked really well. Gotta admit, it worked very well. Until I got far enough along, and the pressure got to be too much, and the glass cracked.
Yep. So yeah, we got new glass for one of the cases. It's beautiful.
It's amazing.
What a difference.
Yes, it's great. So if you come into the store, the old case looks like new now. But it wasn't the piece that had the engraving on it. This was just the top piece.
Yeah, just the
and
top
it had
piece.
Been in an old antique mall, and it had just been abused. So it's
been
it's
used hard.
Night and day. Yeah.
So we did that.
Yep. So anyway, other than that, I forgot about that. No major case moves, no major renovations. I'm sure Dave is happy about that.
Yeah.
Lots of local events coming up in downtown, starting in mid-November, right after we get back from the show. A lot of holiday events, including the state's biggest Christmas parade, right here.
I think it's actually the Midwest's largest nighttime Christmas parade is how it's...
I was close.
Yeah, you were very close, yeah. Well, it's absolutely the state's largest Christmas parade.
So that was... So we've got a lot of fun things coming downtown for the holidays. Mm-hmm. I did receive confirmation, this is big, about a new Mont Blanc.
Do you need me to do a little drum roll here for you?
Something. Coming out in the next couple days, so we're excited about that. I'm just.
Do we know the color of that? You're just ignoring me.
I'm ignoring you. Corn poppy red.
Corn poppy red.
Mm-hmm. So we're excited about that. And exciting news for me. Actually, the next couple weeks are going to be like bittersweet and super exciting.
Okay. Talk to me.
The new Pennant magazine is out. We got our advance copies today. I am super excited. So, ta-da! John Veeley, the new editor, did a great job, and we're very excited.
Yeah, it looks nice. I forgot to bring one home.
Yeah. So those of you who are members of the PCA, your magazines have been mailed. Wow. So I'm very excited.
There is on, I don't know what page it is, there is... A half a page
picture of Brian
of yours truly with one of my DC pen show finds, the I don't know if we showed it on the podcast or not, the Esterbrook award given to them at the Louisiana Purchase Exposition.
It's cool.
So
yep.
John took a nice picture of it and a nice picture of me and the award, so that's in there too. And then a large picture of pretty much, well, not all, but a good percentage of all the vendors in Chicago before. Was it Saturday's setup?
DC, before
Saturday's setup?
It was Saturday morning,
yeah.
And it was right before the doors opened to the public, and it was any and all vendors who wanted to participate, and weekend traders and helpers and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So that actually, John had a phenomenal idea to take this family photo, he called it, this big group picture. And so this afternoon, Brian and I were pointing everybody out to Dave so he could see all the people, you know, we talk about, and like, oh, there's Steph, and there's Louise Lee, and I don't remember, you know, just tons and tons of people. But that was a great idea. And so if you're a member, that's actually tucked into the magazine, and that's
cool. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So.
But, so anyway, I'm excited that's done, and that'll actually be my last magazine as president.
Oh.
Yes!
I'm shedding a tear. Right. Do we have any shout-outs? I'm moving right along.
We do. We have a ton of them. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. Hugs to Paul and TJ. You guys had some great ideas. Steph, just pop into the small room in Columbus. You know where we are.
Let us know.
Yep.
You can get out of New York City. You can get out of New York City.
There you go. Jenny, my little sis, how's the Visconti? I know she's not here tonight. Hi to Kyle. Everybody say hi to Kyle. It's his first time in the chat. So everybody
be... 1, 2, 3. Hi, Kyle.
Eddie G. Oh, you didn't see this. Eddie G. Oh, my God. He sent the funniest mail to Brian, so I'm going to have to show you tomorrow.
Oh, Eddie G. sent me an email? You didn't give it to me?
He sent you mail, yeah.
Oh, mail. Oh!
Eddie G. doesn't do email. He just sends pictures.
He sends me email.
All right. Well, anyway, you got a piece of mail from Eddie G. that's just a trip.
My God, I'm going to go back to the store tonight.
You might want to.
I might want to. All right.
Big, huge hugs to Mike and Audrey, Eric, Cousin Martin, and Hugh for the love last night. You guys rock. And Mike, Mike, you are the bomb. You taught us a new word, and we have been using it all day today.
Yes.
So.
And if you don't know which one, we will just shoot us a text later.
We had amazing communication last night with some of our pen friends, and got a lot accomplished.
Yeah. Who else? You're jumping around the list here, so I don't know. I think we're almost done here.
And Mike and Tim, Byler Boys, what's going on down south?
So
that's an order.
And I want to make a quick note, and then we got to boogie along here. Yes, I'm behind in the audio podcast. No, I have not stopped doing them. Yes, I will work on trying to get them done soon. So there we are.
Am I getting a pen on our anniversary?
If you want one.
Awesome.
All right. Anything else?
I think that's enough. I think it's time to let everybody go.
All right.
That's it. Your pens.
You messed up with my script again.
I know.
I normally used to say comments, suggestions, or topics. Use your pens. Yeah, write to us at 10 East College Avenue, Suite 112A, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54911.
But I changed it.
You did. Again.
I know. You can catch us online. Please send us an email.
Brian@AndersonPens.net.
Or Lisa@AndersonPens.net. You can also check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram. Pick any other social media. We're Anderson Vine, Benz.
Snapchat. No, not Snapchat.
We are on Snapchat.
We're on Vine.
We are. Anyway.
Blog.AndersonPenz.net.
And the website is AndersonPenz.net.
Join our mailing list and check out the blog for updates and new products or events in the store. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We will see you next week. Have a good night.
Bye.